SBS Radio.
Australians will vote on Indigenous constitutional recognition by June next year. The World Health Organization has declared the coronavirus a global health emergency. And in sports, Ash Barty finished her dream run at Australian Open after losing to Sofia Kenin. This is NITV Radio News and my name is Šárka Pechová. Australians will vote on Indigenous constitutional recognition by June next year under a timeline mapped out by the Morrison government. Indigenous Australians Minister Ken Wyatt says he hopes to introduce legislation by the end of this year, setting out details of the proposed referendum. Shani Wellington, NITV political correspondent, reports.
If passed by both houses, the referendum will ask voters whether the Constitution should recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. But the question will not be to enshrine an Indigenous advisory body in the Constitution, as called for in the Uluru Statement from the Heart.
Channel 7 has aired a public apology to the Yolongu people from the Yirrkala community. It follows a defamation lawsuit over footage aired during Sunrise's Indigenous Adoption segment on The Breakfast Show in 2018. In the discussion, one of the panelists, Prue McSween, suggested that another stolen generation was needed to protect Aboriginal children. Slightly blurred image of Yirrkala community members was used under the discussion. A group of 15 people from the Yirrkala community in the Northern Territory who featured in the footage filed a defamation lawsuit over the segment. The apology stated that the vision, which was originally filmed for health promotion in Yirrkala, had nothing to do with the story or the comments of the panelists. Former Olympian and politician Nova Paris has filed a lawsuit against conservative commentator Jacinta Price. Ms. Paris alleged Ms. Price made defamatory comments during a Studio 10 appearance in 2019. Ms. Paris's lawyer Duncan Fine said in a statement that the claim before the Supreme Court of Victoria was for defamation to repair the damage to her reputation. The World Health Organization has declared the coronavirus a global health emergency, recognizing the disease is a risk beyond China. It comes after the United Nations Health Agency met to discuss the ongoing outbreak of the virus as the death toll in China reaches 170. The organization has been hesitant to declare an international emergency, with most cases recorded in China and centered on the Chinese city of Wuhan and wider Hubei province. World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus says they are worried about the virus traveling to countries with inadequate health facilities.
The main reason for this declaration is not because of what is happening in China, but because of what is happening in other countries. Our greatest concern is the potential for the virus to spread to countries with weaker health systems and which are ill prepared to deal with it.
Around 100 cases of the virus have, however, now been reported outside China, despite widespread quarantine measures. Victorian firefighters are preparing for severe fire conditions with high temperatures forecast across the state over the coming days. The Bureau of Meteorology says temperatures in Melbourne are set to soar above 40 degrees today. More than 1.5 million hectares have burned across Victoria this fire season, and bushfires are still alive in the state's east. Victoria's Emergency Management Commissioner Andrew Crisp is urging Victorians to be on alert and ready to evacuate as the heat returns.
It's not too late to develop your plan. You know, what do you sit down with your family? What are you going to do? Importantly, with that plan, when are you going to put it in place? So, as we've heard, if you're going to wait till you see the smoke or the fire at your doorstep, it's far too late. So you've got to get out early. That's been the message that we've pushed throughout this summer. And again, I want to thank and acknowledge those many thousands of people have done that when we've asked people to do that.
New figures show that 1 in 10 Australians accessed Medicare-subsidised mental health services in 2018 to 2019. Australian Institute of Health and Welfare data released yesterday also showed national spending on mental health services will soon reach $10 billion a year. State, territory and federal governments spent $9.9 billion on mental health services in 2017 to 2018. An average of $400 per person was spent on mental health services in years 2017 to 2018, up from $382 in years 2013 to 2014. The number of people using Medicare-subsidized services has doubled over the decade, from 5.7% in 2008 to 2009 to 10.6% in years 2018 to 2019. The data shows 17.1% of Australians received mental health-related prescriptions, with the majority of those antidepressants. Women are more likely to access mental health services than men. The federal government has announced a $2 billion deal with New South Wales aimed at funding climate emissions reduction projects and accessing more natural gas. The agreement will strive to lower electricity prices and emissions while getting more power into the system by using gas. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says it is important for the state and federal government to unite to secure energy.
You get more gas into the system, it drives down prices. That's what happens. And this is about working together to drive down prices, working together to reduce emissions, working together to get the gas.
Overseas now. Britain is officially leaving the European Union today, ending years of Brexit discussion. The European Parliament yesterday approved the Brexit withdrawal agreement, voting 621 for to just 49 against. The agreement includes an 11-month transition period to allow the bloc and the United Kingdom to negotiate the finer details of their relationship. Steve Bray, a pro-EU supporter, says he still hopes to return to the EU.
Mixed emotions, really, at the moment. Sadness. I'm grateful for the time we've had with the European Union. But our campaign has changed. It's not a question of if we rejoin the European Union. It's just a question of when.
Four journalists have been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison by a court in the Republic of Burundi in Africa for attempting to undermine the state's security. The journalists were arrested in October while covering an invasion of rebels from the South Kivu province in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It comes as the government is cracking down on the media ahead of the presidential election in May, with multiple media outlets and radio stations closed down. A large number of journalists have also fled the country. To sports now. Ash Barty's dream run at the Australian Open has come to an end. The world number one put up a serious fight at the Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne yesterday, but lost the semi-final to 21-year-old Sophia Kenin. The 23-year-old Barty was the first Australian woman to make it this far in the tournament in 36 years. At the post-match press conference where Barty came with her newest niece, the tennis player summed up the match.
A match where I probably didn't feel super comfortable. I felt like my first plan wasn't working. I couldn't execute the way that I wanted, so I tried to go to B and C, and I think I had to dig and find a way, and I'm 2 points away from winning that in straight sets, which is disappointing, but knowing that I had to fight and scrap, I still gave myself a chance to win the match. I try and go out and play the way that I want to play, and if that doesn't work, I know that I've got different tools that I can go to, and I tried to go to those tools today, but unfortunately couldn't quite scrap enough to get over the line.
Fellow sporting sensation Cathy Freeman said she was proud of how far the world number one has come, having first picked up a tennis racket at the age of 4.
I can confidently say, on behalf of Aussies and particularly the Indigenous community, we're very proud of her.
Defending champion Novak Djokovic has powered through to his 8th Australian Open final, defeating Roger Federer in straight sets. The world number 2 started slowly against the 20-time major winner, trailing 2-5 in the first set. But Djokovic recovered to win 7-6, 6-4, 6-3 on Rod Laver Arena in the pair's 50th career meeting. After the first set went for more than an hour, the rest of the match only took another 76 minutes. Djokovic commended Federer for his efforts despite suffering from an injury.
It could have definitely gone a different way if he used those break points. He started off really well. I was pretty nervous at the beginning, and I just want to say respect to Roger for coming out tonight. He was obviously hurt.
Let's have a look at today's weather. Broome, mostly sunny with the tops of 34. Perth, also mostly sunny with the tops of 24. Adelaide, humid and possible storm, tops of 36. Melbourne, hot and a possible storm, tops of 41. Hobart, very hot with a shower or two, tops of 38. Albury-Wodonga, very hot and mostly sunny, tops of 43. Canberra, hot and sunny, tops of 41. Sydney, windy and partly cloudy, tops of 31. Brisbane, partly cloudy, tops of 31. Cairns, shower or two and also tops of 31. Darwin, possible shower or a storm, tops of 34. Alice Springs, possible shower or storm, tops of 35. And Torres Strait Islands are going to be cloudy with rain and thunderstorms with possible heavy falls, tops ranging between 27 and 31 degrees today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.